Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Well, I can't think of a better way to start a show with Gary DeMar than the REM song, It's the End of the World as We Know It. This is Chris Arnzen, welcoming you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And today is Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. And we've got two post-millennialists on today, joining this amillennialist. We've got Gary DeMar, who is the president of American Vision. And he is the author of many books, including the one that we are discussing today that has been recently brought back into print in a newly revised edition, Last Days Madness, Obsession of the Modern Church. And we also have joining us today a fellow, not only postmillennialist, but along with Gary, a theonomist and a Christian Reconstructionist. We have Pastor Christopher McDowell, who, unlike Gary, is a Baptist, a Reformed Baptist, and he is one of the pastors, one of two pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. But it's my honor and privilege, first of all, to welcome you back, one of my favorite guests of all time, Gary DeMar.
Hey, it's good to be back.
And we also have, as I said, Pastor Chris McDowell. This is his second appearance on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, the first time we were discussing his ministry at abortion mills to rescue unborn children from murder and also to bring those contemplating that murder to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back as well, Pastor Christopher McDowell.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
And before we have Chris give our listeners a bit of information about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Gary, for those of our listeners who are hearing you for the first time, they might even be new believers, they might even be unbelievers or members of non-Christian religions who have never heard of you or American Vision. Why don't you tell our listeners about American Vision?
Well, American Vision was started in 1979. I came on board around 1980, and I came on as really as a researcher and dealing with America's Christian history, thus the name American Vision. And then over a couple of years, we kind of transformed it into a larger ministry called dealing with biblical worldview issues, how the Bible applies to every area of life. And I started with a three-volume series called God and Government, explaining, remember, this is during the Reagan era, and Christians had just gotten involved in politics. Young people today probably don't even realize that, but there was no Christian voting bloc in the late 1970s. There was a bunch of disgruntled voters at the end of the 1970s after the born again candidacy of Jimmy Carter. It was kind of the first time that a particular Christian voting bloc was even visible and talked about. And so, I needed to write something to help Christians understand what the Bible had to say about government, that government wasn't synonymous with politics, that there was God is the governor of all things, self-government under God is the most important government, and then family government, church government, and a very decentralized civil government. And so we just continue to broaden our our reach with biblical worldview ideas, and government was the first step. And I got involved in the whole eschatology thing because when I went out to speak on worldview issues, invariably there'd be somebody in the audience who would say, oh, wait a minute, we're living in the last days, Jesus is coming soon, all the signs lead to that conclusion. Why are we bothering with politics? Why are we bothering with abortion issue and so forth? These are all signs of the end. And again, we have to remember that the best-selling book of the 1970s was Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth, which came out in 1970. And he predicted, not specifically, but he intimated with a great deal of force that Israel was established as a nation again in 1948. Matthew chapter 24:34 says, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. The generation was 40 years. You add 40 to 1948, you got 1988. And that it was all supposed to come to an end before 1988 took place. Well, here we are, 2019. We're all still here. Those types of end-time thinking, you would think, would have passed away, but they haven't. There are Christians out there who are still claiming that we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. Russia is going to engage in a one final battle called Armageddon, and also the Gog and Magog battle. So I wrote Last Days Madness during this period of time, and wanted to outline for Christians what the Bible had to say about it in a very specific way.
In fact, I remember well when that book first came out, and I don't know if you remember, but I had arranged at least a couple of interviews with you before I ever had my own talk show. I was an account executive for WMCA in New York, an affiliate of the largest Christian radio network in the world, Salem Media. And I remember setting up interviews with you, at least a couple, with the late Andy Anderson, who had a program. Oh, yeah. It was originally called Talk New York, and then they changed it to Andy Anderson Live. And that's when our relationship, our friendship began, actually. And that was a very thin blue book, I remember, and it's become a massive book by now.
Well, yeah, I wrote a series of articles, and at that particular time, two guys, Robert Wolgamuth and Michael Hyatt, who used to work for Thomas Nelson, were
right.
Starting a new publishing house up in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Right.
And they were desperate, looking for people to write books for them. And I wrote quite a few books, Surviving College Successfully, You Heard It Said, and I did Last Days Madness. They reprinted my three-volume God and Government series. And it did expand into something larger than that since I was now in control of the, they eventually went out of business. Michael Hyatt eventually then went back to Thomas Nelson. He was even the president of Thomas Nelson, and Thomas Nelson published my book, End Times Fiction, which was a critique of the Left Behind series. So anyway, yeah, I expanded it somewhat to deal with additional topics that Christians were asking me about, like, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And so I told them what about this in a larger edition.
Yeah, and I also remember, I don't know if you do, but it was a much more special event for me than you, I guess. But I remember the first time I actually met you face-to-face was at a conference where you were speaking in Kingston, New York, at a Christian Missionary Alliance congregation that had actually become Reformed and Theonomic, and you were doing a conference there, and that's when I first met you face-to-face, and we even made our connections more frequent and stronger, and I've been blessed and honored to know you all these years since the early 1990s. Now
you're going to be back in Atlanta. You're going to be back in Atlanta the first of the year.
Yes. I hope I get to have lunch with you again, and maybe we can also have a haircut the same day again. Yeah, Gary and I.
That was a special time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We had our haircuts in what seemed to be an all-black barber shop, and they did a great job.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to be accused of racism by being surprised by that, but it's just that the fact that if your clientele usually has a different hair texture, you might wonder if they're going to know how to cut a different type of hairstyle, but they did a great job, and we were both very impressed with the sign in the window, if you recall. You even took a picture of it. In fact, we both took pictures of it, where they were warning that people with baggy pants wouldn't be allowed in, and that they demanded respect of the clientele and also the workers there, and that you have to make sure your children behave. There was a long list of things that they were insisting upon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that, you know, if you ever seen a picture of me when I was much, much younger, I had hair that would fit that type of barbershop.
Well, yeah, when I first met you in Kingston, you had hair like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got a couple funny stories related to that, but we don't have time.
Well, we also have, as I said before, as I've already announced, Pastor Christopher McDowell, who is actually a new addition to the pastoral team at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. In fact, he is the one that made it a team because it was a solo act before. And now they have two pastors, along with Pastor Rich Jensen. Many of you may recognize Pastor Rich as a moderator in a debate that I emceed between two very dear friends of mine, Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries, and also Pastor Bill Shishko, who is now the pastor of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church plant in Deer Park, Long Island. But they were debating on infant baptism, and Pastor Rich Jensen was the moderator, and you all may remember that. But Pastor Chris, and I may interchangeably call you Christopher and Chris.
That's okay.
Tell us about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island.
Hope Reformed Baptist Church was founded back in 96 by Pastor Jensen. It was actually a church plant from Grace Reformed in Merrick, as you well know, Chris. And at the time, there was another elder with him for that plant who since retired and moved down south. But I actually joined about 6 years ago with my family. We had started homeschooling, and that led us to the doctrines of grace, and that eventually led us to Hope by God's very good providence. So we've been attending at Hope for about 6 years now, and like you said, was a deacon and then installed as an elder just this past year. But Hope is a 1689 Reformed Baptist church. It's, you know, Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. A lot of us are post-mill, but we don't, that's not certainly required to be a member. But yeah, we're a 1689 church, and it's the only confessional church I know of in Suffolk County right now, our sister church.
Wow. No, the only confessional Baptist church, you mean?
Confessional Baptist church, right. Sorry, I should have that right.
And
I only think of the Baptist sometimes.
And Pastor Rich has, as long as I've known him, been a post-millennialist. In fact, I was at an ordination interview that turned into an interrogation of sorts by some of the dispensationalist pastors who were on the panel. But he still got passed through and got ordained. And Pastor Rich has always been teetering on the edge of theonomy, but not taking the plunge into it yet, as far as I know. But maybe you're going to push him into the river, being his co-pastor. And you may not even be aware of this, because this is before you were there, but James White and I were at a specific youth retreat that Hope Reformed Baptist Church conducted in Tuscarora, Pennsylvania. And, in fact, James White had been the speaker at a number of those youth retreats, but on this one particular one, they had me doing some entertainment for the kids. And James White begged me to be a part of it, and that might not sound so unusual now because he's developed a sense of humor, but back then he was a very rigid and cold and humorless person. So what we did was we sang a song that I wrote making fun of the post-millennial view of Pastor Jensen to the tune of High Hopes, and just one verse of it was, "We've got high hopes, we've got high hopes. We've got Hal Lindsey. Stick it in your high hopes. So, that was always a precious time going to those youth retreats with James White and all the folks there. In fact, the last line of that that song, High Hopes, that James White and I did in harmony was, "Where's Ken Gentry when you need him?" There was a small faction of folks there that would always make fun of Pastor Rich in humor, of course, claiming that they strongly preferred the teaching of Ken Gentry, and that's why we brought that up. But for those of you listening, if you don't hear the end of this program, because I plan to repeat all of this information, but the website for Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net, and the website for American Vision, the ministry of Gary DeMar, is americanvision.org, americanvision.org. And you should go right to that website rather than do a Google search, but I think you'll get ophthalmologists and eyeglass companies and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, they keep stealing our name.
Nice.
Keep calling themselves American. In fact, we got a letter from some eye care place. This was years ago, telling us to cease and desist in the use of the name American Vision. Yeah, because they had it, and our lawyer at the time sent them a letter and said, "Well, here's our trademark application, and you will look at the number on this and says that we had it before you did."
Wow.
Intimating that if they didn't stop the harassment, that we might turn around and sue them for the use of American Indian.
Well, I'm going to give our email address out if anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own for Gary DeMar. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and Christopher McDowell, Pastor Christopher McDowell, is serving as a co-host today due to his admiration not only of Gary DeMar, but also specifically his book, Last Days Madness, which he, as I said before, turned into a Bible study that lasted for quite a number of months at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, New York. But why don't you give us some more detail about the reason for writing Last Day Madness? You already gave us some detail, but the specific title, Last Day's Madness, and some of our listeners who may be dispensationalists, or they may be even the historic premillennialists or amillennialists, they may be apprehensive, thinking that you are including each and every single one of them in the Looney Tunes realm of eschatology. So why don't you tell us about the primary reason that you have written this actually massive volume and that has been revised, and also let us know what is different about the new version.
So it's not massive. I mean, you talk about massive. It's all the Baptist stuff that keeps coming out in 3 and 4 and 5 volumes of systematic. this is a pretty tame book.
It's about 400 pages, isn't it?
It's 400 pages, but it's easy to read. I got subheads, and unfortunately there are no pictures in it. But so anyway, this all came about when I was in seminary, and you have to remember, I became a Christian in 1973, and Late Great Planet Earth was huge. It was Late Great Planet Earth, the book sold like 26 million copies. This is one book, 26 million copies, and it had an impact. I think it still does have an impact on Christian thinking, on what's happening in our world today. Here we are facing political changes, ethical changes regarding homosexuality. It's affecting congregations and the Southern Baptists, even the PCA. I'm a member of a PCA church here in Marietta, Georgia. And we're being inundated by a great deal of cultural impaction. And I think a lot of it, I think there are at least two reasons for it. One is this idea of this dualistic concept of sacred, secular. Christians aren't supposed to be involved in things of this world. Francis Schaeffer, I thought he had dismissed that years ago in his two-tiered approach to reality, the upper story and the lower story, and we operate up in the upper story. We don't really care about what's going on down here. Now, Satan controls this world. He's the god of this world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's one aspect to it. And then coupled to that is this idea that the Bible directly addresses eschatological issues that are taking place in our day. Wars and rumors of wars, false prophets, antichrist, tribulation, moral decline. And this has a, I hate to use the word psychological impact, but it has an impact on people's future thinking. It says, look, if these things are evident today of what's going on in our culture, there's really nothing we can do about changing our culture. It's a prophetic inevitability that these things are going to happen. And then you couple that with, you know, the premise that Israel becoming a nation again, and then the 40-year period, and they changed it to a 70-year period. Now it's probably a 100-year period since 1948. I think it's having an impact on the church. And then I add a third element to this. I think young people are, you know, they're looking for answers. And if they go into a church and they're hearing, you know, a lot of pastors saying, we're living in the last days, there's Jesus is coming soon, and, you know, pack your bags, and the rapture is right around, could happen at any moment, and so forth. While the political and social and religious left and Islam are promoting this idea of long term strategy, rebuilding, you know, building for the future. We're gonna take control of education. We're gonna control government. We're gonna take control of every facet of society. And this becomes a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy for Christians that they, you know, that there's nothing they can do or really should do because we're living in the end. And I felt I just needed to sit down and look at all the popular passages that Christians use to make that kind of case and deal with them in a straightforward, exegetical, non-emotional way, to demonstrate that the Bible isn't dealing with, those particular prophecies aren't dealing with what we call the end times, that they were dealing with a period of history leading up to and including the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in AD 70. And I did that with Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13, Luke 21, the Olivet Discourse, 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist, Armageddon, all those passages. Dealing with the people say, oh, those were referring to our day, and I maintain, no, they refer to events leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, something that Jesus clearly makes evident in Matthew chapter 24, chapters 23 and 24.
And, of course, there are, as we were just talking about off the air before the show, there are people that you would agree, take that or those truths, because even though I'm an amillennialist, I consider myself a partial preterist, but they take those truths, and just like hyper-Calvinists do, they try to force those truths everywhere, and they become what we would call hyper-preterists. They would call themselves just preterists, or believers in realized eschatology, and there's a number of different phrases they use, covenant eschatology. But they take it to an extreme where they deny even the future return, visible physical return of Christ, and the future physical visible raising of the dead. And
there are quite a few different full preterist interpretations. I mean, some of them are way out. And I find it interesting that one of the reasons I got into this in the first place was because of the impact that eschatology was having on culture and Christian involvement. And a lot of these full preterists on many passages are actually, you know, pretty good. They align with commentators who have been writing with taking the perspective that I've taken for centuries. John Gill was a Baptist. He was a preterist on Matthew chapter 24 and portions of 25. Adam Clark was a Methodist. You got amillennialist. J. Adams is a partial preterist as well. But I find that the full preterists, they're just as bad. Many of them are just as bad as the dispensationalists and time advocates, because they have the same view of culture and worldview Christianity that they do. They don't see the Bible applying beyond AD 70. Everything took place in AD 70, and I have not seen a kind of a worldview study by these guys on topics that I think are crucial for our time and place.
Yeah, and they have a very depressing eschatology, far from a post-millennial one, that this wretched planet just continues to crank on and never comes to any kind of end, and unless we destroy it with a nuclear war or something. But it's quite depressing, and I reject it strongly. In fact, I'm working on a debate, folks, so if you are listening, please pray that this debate actually comes to fruition. One of the debaters is a former hyper-preterist, Sam Frost, who has become, I believe he would consider himself today, an amillennial partial preterist.
I don't even know if he's taken the partial preterist position. I've read a little bit of his stuff, and I have to say, I'm just not real sure where he is.
Okay.
On this. So it'd be interesting to, I hope this debate turns out. And again, I agree with you on what the debate topic should be. But I'm a little confused on where Sam Frost has landed, but that's another topic for another time. You can handle that with this debate you're working on.
Well, we're going to go to our first break right now, and when we return, I'd like Pastor Christopher McDowell to explain how the congregation at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, responded to the Last Days Madness Bible study that you conducted for a while. And I want you to keep in mind, Pastor Chris, please do not wait for me to ask you to ask a question or give a comment. If you see an opening in a conversation, just jump in there, because since we cannot see each other, I don't want to accidentally or unconsciously leave you out of the conversation. So I want you to make sure that you jump in as often as you have something that you want to say, and there is an opening in or a break in the discussion. So,
in the last 5 minutes when you waved my hands was fruitless.
So, and we.
I understand. No, thank you. I will.
And we've also got a number of people already lined up to have their own questions asked and answered in our audience, and we'll get to as many of you as we can before the end of the program. But if anybody wants to get in line, if we can squeeze you in, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. 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 And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have an eschatological view that is different from your own pastor or own congregation, or perhaps you're a pastor and you have an eschatological view that differs from your own fellow elders or your denomination. Well, I understand why you'd want to remain anonymous, but if it's not personal and private, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike, who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on, yeah. Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and by the way, folks, please remember, whenever you purchase books from Solid Ground Christian Books, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to have a longer life and a longer future, because we rely upon their finances through their advertising campaigns to exist, and they actually tripled on their own behalf, without me prodding them or asking them. They tripled their advertising budget with us, since they began with us in 2015. because not only the fact that they want us to remain on the air, but also because they are getting a great return for their money from you, the listener. I want to thank all of you from the depths of my heart for being great customers to solid-ground-books.com, and please keep that going. If you haven't purchased books from them yet, please start doing it. And always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And obviously, with the holidays coming up, there's plenty of reason to buy gifts. And what better gift can you give someone that you love than one that edifies them with the Word of God and may even be used to lead a lost person to Christ? So please remember solid-ground-books.com. And now we are back with my guest today, Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and also my co-host, Pastor Christopher McDowell, one of two pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York. And we are discussing the latest edition, the latest revised edition of Last Days Madness, one of the monumental works of our guest, Gary DeMar. And Christopher McDowell, before we go to any listener questions, if you could let our listeners know what led you to first discover Gary and his book, and what led you to also implement it for a Bible study?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to clarify a little bit of that information. When we were sharing before about Pastor Jensen and not being a theonomist, and maybe I'll push him over. He's actually always called himself a lowercase t theonomist. And, you know, with a fledgling congregation and some people not even sure about eschatology and stuff, he didn't want to put up any necessary barriers for them to, you know, so we put ourselves out there as a 1689 church. So I do hold to theonomy in terms of a worldview where there has to be a standard for law and order and justice. It only makes sense to have God's law as opposed to man's law. We've seen the effects of that. So I just want to clarify that me and Pastor Jensen are much closer on the same page than you might think.
So Pastor Rich is a weak T-onomist, you're saying?
Don't forge my mouth. I got to see him tomorrow.
Okay.
He's actually been a great mentor to me. And coming, actually, you got to visit with us just recently for that Spurgeon Fellowship Conference on the Doctrines of Grace and sit in on a Sunday school. It was actually going through a survey of the Old Testament, and I was going through the book of Amos. And so the day you happened to sit in, I was recommending Last Days Madness, because when you're in the Old Testament, as Gary has mentioned, you know, these things, you have to know the Bible to know what's going on in Revelation, what's going on in Matthew 24. This language is often used in the Old Testament. So Last Days Madness for me was a great example of understanding the symbolism, the kind of apocalyptic language that is used. So for someone like me and others in the Sunday school class who come from a dispensational background, I felt that book would be very helpful. In fact, when I first came to Hope, I had come out of the dispensational church. I'm still thinking about, you know, Left Behind series with Tim LaHaye and all that. And one of the first Tuesday night Bible study, book studies that we did, when we started having this conversation, Pastor brought up Last Days Madness, and we actually went through that to go through Matthew 24 and to look at that. And that was just huge for me. I so appreciate you, Gary, for helping to just bring that stuff up and make it so clear, because I really had this sort of piecemeal theology prior to coming to covenant theology. And this, you know, with conversations I was having with, you know, my brothers at Hope and Pastor Jensen. Also, I appreciated Apologia Church's ministry with Jeff Durbin and their podcast. So it's just been a blessing to me and to the church. I think anyone who actually gets a hold of it and reads it, if they're coming from a dispensational mindset, it's going to connect a lot of dots for them.
It is interesting, Gary, that there seems to be a growing number of Baptist theonomists. When I first became acquainted with you, they were rarer than a Loch Ness monster sighting. I mean, you can, there was a, or it still is a church here in Pennsylvania, Emmanuel Reformed Church, that is a Reformed Baptist church that is Reconstructionist. In fact, the pastor, I don't know if he still does, but for years he wrote articles for Rushash John Rashtuni in the Chalcedon Report. And I think I knew of one other one, but there seems to be a really significantly growing number. Have you experienced that or witnessed that yourself?
I really don't traverse in the kind of the Reformed Baptist community very much, although with James White and, of course, you and Jeff Durbin and others, that it's kind of a new experience for me. And I'm actually kind of surprised, because it's really a controversial topic, to be sure. I mean, for me, it goes all the way back to the 70s when Greg Bahnsen was a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary. And it was controversial there. In fact, it got him, where they didn't boot him out. They just didn't renew his contract. And I was kind of in the middle of that whole thing about the seminary and dealing with Greg Bahnsen over theonomy. So it's been very controversial over the years, and I'm kind of surprised that a lot of people wouldn't get involved in it, because just to say the word, kind of, marks you for skepticism. So my hat's off to you for, continuing to use the word to describe yourself.
Well, at least until tomorrow. So.
Now, Last Day's Madness. Are you? I have read the book, but for the sake of our listeners who haven't, who might be apprehensive to pick it up, are you primarily promoting theonomy and Reconstruction, or just correcting the errors of eschatological views that may be harmful in the way Christians behave as good stewards of this planet, that, so to prevent them from being so pessimistic about their role and duty in this world, because they think that the end of the world is just around the corner, that you're correcting those errors and the eschatological errors outside of postmillennialism rather than promoting specifically theonomy and Reconstruction?
No, this is a pure eschatology book. I don't even deal with the millennial question in Last Day's Madness. This is a book that simply deals with the major issues related to the end times. And the millennial question isn't an end times deal. And I always tell people you can't deal with the millennial question until you deal with the subjects that I have here in Last Day's Madness, because what I deal with are events supposedly that happen before you get to the millennium. In Revelation chapter 20. So I don't touch on that. Everything in Last Day's Madness deals with the events supposedly leading up to the last days that are in our immediate future. And my proposal is that those passages don't have anything to do with our time, that they dealt with the time period of the early church. I'll give you a good example. The word Antichrist, I always ask the question, I go around, I speak somewhere, I said, what book of the Bible do you think the word Antichrist appears in more times than any other book? And most people will say, well, the book of Revelation. And I say, do you know that the word Antichrist doesn't appear anywhere in the book of Revelation?
That's right.
And then I ask, I said, give me the biblical definition of Antichrist. And I've only had a few people actually give me the biblical definition of Antichrist.
Denial that Christ came in the flesh.
Yeah, you know, someone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That is the biblical definition of Antichrist. And so he's not a political figure. He's a religious figure. And the Antichrist in the New Testament deal with somebody who was alive and well in their day. I'll give you the only place the word Antichrist appears is in John's very short epistles. And it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And this is another part of this debate. Time indicators are extremely important, not only when you're dealing with eschatology, but with anything else. And so John is writing, says, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, so not only do we have a time reference here, but we have an audience reference. Jesus is addressing a particular audience that he wrote this letter to. That's the primary audience. It is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, another time indicator, many Antichrists have arisen. So there isn't a singular Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. From this, that is from the fact that there are many Antichrists already in the world that have arisen, we know that it is the last hour. Now, last hour here can't mean 2,000 years. John is describing a group of people, and you go later on in John's epistles, John's second epistle, verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So here we have here's a specific biblical definition of Antichrist. We're told that there were many of them, and we are told that the fact that they are there is an indication that it's the last hour. Now, the last hour for what? Now you have to do a little more research, and I think the last hour is the events leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke who deal specifically with a lot of text, a lot of scripture on that particular event. And so when you go through the Bible and go through the synoptic gospels and you see how much material is presented in terms of coming eschatological events that were supposed to take place before that generation passed away, all this fits neatly together. And look, I didn't come up with this. I'm not that smart to come up with all this. The first book I came across that made this case was a book by Marcellus Kick, spelled K-I-K, and it was just the title of the book was Matthew 24, and it was published in 1948. And all Kick did was to compare scripture with scripture. And that's what Last Days Madness does. It compares scripture with scripture. Where is the term Antichrist found? What does the term Antichrist mean? Let the Bible define what Antichrist means. What are the time texts? What's the audience relevance? And you don't have to be a seminary student or a biblical scholar to figure these things out. All you have to do is read the text and compare scripture with scripture, and you come up with a very simple way of explaining what Jesus had in mind. Now, the thing of it is, this is not a very sensational position. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen in the future. And the people with their charts, and they're talking about, Russia's going to invade Syria based upon Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's the new thing that, Graham Watts has come out with. And there are others who keep pushing this Gog and Magog thing. This is exciting for people. And then you add to that the idea of the rapture, that the church is going to be taken off the earth before all this stuff takes place. It's a very attractive position. But the question we need to ask is, does the Bible actually teach that? And I maintain no. And I take a lot of time, as you noted with the size of the book, going through all of these issues related to that and trying to answer them in a way that people can understand.
Well, we have to go to our midway break, believe it or not. This is a longer than normal break, unfortunately, folks, but we need this break in order to survive because our advertisers are what keeps us on the air. We also take a longer break in the middle because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice daily, needs this break to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, in order to comply with FCC regulations. So please be patient with us during this elongated break, but also make use of the time by writing down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, helping us to keep on the air longer. And also write down questions for Gary DeMar and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Gary DeMar and also my co-host, Pastor Christopher McDowell, after these messages from our sponsors.
Back together again, yeah. I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them, Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goatskin inside liner, and the electric blue goatskin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases
that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, we've got as a guest today Gary DeMar, the author of Last Day's Madness, and we also have as my co-host Pastor Christopher McDowell, one of two pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York. If you'd like to join us on the air, if you want to get online, because we do have a number of people waiting to have their questions asked and answered, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and if we could squeeze you in before this program is over, we will do so. But before we return to the discussion, I just have a few announcements to make regarding special events that I hope you will attend. The first involves a very key member of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, New York. That's Anthony Uvinio. He is the founder or co-founder of New York Apologetics.
And he who, along with Eli Ayala, who is the resident apologist for the Historical Bible Society, whose ads you hear on this show, with a brother named Ryan Gallen, and I may have mispronounced that, but they are going to be speaking at a conference this weekend at the Presbyterian Church of Islip, New York, on 340 Main Street, Islip, and that's November 16th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The theme that they are discussing is Building Upon the Rock, Developing a Christ-Centered Defense. That's weekend, November 16th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church of Islip, New York. If you want more details on this event, you can go to reformedrookie.com, reformedrookie.com, and you can also send me an email, and I will get you the information. My email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, so we hope you can make it to that event this weekend. I am going to be heading out to my old stomping grounds this December. That's New York City, and they are going to be holding the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com, in the heart of Manhattan, in the heart of the Christmas season. And I can't think of a better place on the planet Earth to be spending at least a part of the Christmas season than New York City. The Foundations Conference is for men in ministry leadership only. And a lot of that has to do with the small venue that they have. They can only seat less than 200 people. So if you're a man in ministry leadership and you'd like to join me there at the Foundations Conference, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomassian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. Once again, the website is thefoundationsconference.com. And I hope to see you Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City at the Foundations Conference. Then, the G3 Conference that you heard Gary DeMar mention earlier. The G3 Conference is one of my favorite events. It is absolutely spectacular. It will be held January 16th through the 18th, 2020 at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. This January's theme is on worship matters, and they also have a phenomenal lineup of speakers, including, once again, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, and also my very longtime friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You, who happens to be the most interviewed guest on Iron Sharpened Design Radio in our history since we launched in 2005, my friend Todd Friel, who you've been hearing promote this conference through advertisements on the show. He is the founder of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Derek Thomas, who's a world-renowned Presbyterian author and teacher and conference speaker. My friend, Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of the Founders Ministries, which is the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. And Kosti Hinn, who is the nephew, believe it or not, of Benny Hinn. But Kosti, unlike his uncle, has renounced the Word of Faith heresies that he was raised in. And he is a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist who just recently left his post in California and accepted a call to a church in Arizona, where he is now pastoring. And there are many more on this roster, and the latest addition is John MacArthur himself, and I would go to the G3 conference if it was just John MacArthur speaking. I so highly regard him as one of my modern-day heroes, even though I disagree with him on eschatology. But he is a wonderful preacher and teacher, and if you want to join me there, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I strongly urge you, if you have a business, a parachurch organization, a special event, or anything else that you want to promote to a large number of Christians, this is an ideal place to man an exhibitor's booth, just as I have done for 3 years, and this January will be my fourth year where I'm manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpened Iron Radio. It's well worth your while because they have over 5,000 people that attend this every year, and with John MacArthur on the lineup, I am very confident they will have over 6,000 people there. That's just a guess, but it's an educated guess. So if you want to join me there, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register to either attend only or to also man an exhibitor's booth. That's g3conference.com. And if you want to man an exhibitor's booth, do so quickly or register quickly, because they're going to run out of exhibitor's booth space a lot more quickly than they'll run out of a room in the auditorium where you can sit, because it's a massive place, the Georgia International Convention Center. So register at g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to the guests and topics that we feature on this show that are sometimes never heard anywhere else, or at least rarely, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones. Well, please, if you love the show, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational purposes, sporting events, the theater, concerts, can you please take a portion of that money and help us by sending it to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, or you can also donate instantly with a debit or credit card by clicking support at ironsharpensironradio. Just follow the instructions. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to the local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy if you're having a hard time making ends meet by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do those two things, because supporting your family and your church are two commands of God. Supporting my show is obviously not a command of God, but, as I said, if you have been blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money, and you love the show, and you don't want it to disappear, please, we are in urgent need of your help. December is a very scary month for us right now. We don't even have the money right now to pay for the rent needed for the studio facility that we have. Please, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We thank Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, for being a regular supporter of this show. We thank Anthony Uvinio's New York Apologetics for being a sponsor of this show and helping us out financially every month. We thank also our new sponsors, Grace Church at Franklin in Franklin, Tennessee, and their website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. We thank them for being new sponsors, and if you want to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, because we really do need your advertising dollars. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, and I can help you find a church, God willing. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped people all over the world who listen to this show find churches, whether they have joined them or visited them on vacation or recommended them to family, friends, and loved ones who are without a church. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Gary DeMar on his book, Last Day's Madness. And once again, that's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We are now back with not only Gary DeMar of American Vision and author of Last Day's Madness, Obsession of the Modern Church, but we also have our co-host Christopher McDowell with us. And let me, before I go back to Gary or have Pastor Chris ask any questions, let me make sure that I get at least a couple of these questions read from listeners who have been waiting. Hopefully patiently, but they've been waiting for a long time. We have Andrew in Avon Lake, Ohio. Many of my dispensationalist friends claim that the nation of Israel must be fully restored to its old covenant state in order to have a literal fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies about its future. If that is true, then why wouldn't Babylon and Assyria need to be fully restored in order for their prophecies to be understood literally? Some dispensationalists I know are preterist concerning prophecies about Babylon, Assyria, etc. Why is this option not allowed to be applied to Israel in their system? That's a pretty good point. Gary?
I think the reason is they would say that God had a specific covenant with Israel, and God didn't have a specific covenant with Babylon or Assyria. So it's the idea of having a perpetual covenant. But here's the problem with the perpetual covenant. Because what the dispensationalists teach is that God put on hold his covenant with Israel when supposedly the nation of Israel rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah. And we are now living within a period of time that the dispensationalists have claimed is the church age, which was something that was never really predicted in the Bible. And so what God has done, according to the dispensationalists who believe in an eternal covenant with Israel, is they postponed that eternal covenant for nearly 2,000 years. So they're very sketchy about this eternal covenant with Israel. Then, once the rapture takes place, church is taken off the earth, now God starts dealing with Israel again. This is the 70th week of Daniel, which is a seven-year period in which the Great Tribulation takes place. And then during that seven-year period, two-thirds of the Jews living in Israel are slaughtered. So God, first of all, postpones his covenant with Israel for 2,000 years. Then he finally is going to deal with Israel again. And during the time he deals with Israel again, he allows the Antichrist to come in and kill two-thirds of the Jews. So God waits 2,000 years to renew his covenant with Israel. Then he gives them over to the Antichrist, so millions of them are slaughtered again. And I had a debate with Dr. Michael Brown, a great, great guy. We get along very well. And I asked him about this. I said, Dr. Brown, you talk about this eternal covenant with Israel, but yet during this tribulation period, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be slaughtered. So when is this covenant for Israel going to be established forever? It certainly is not going to be established during the seven-year period because the Jews are going to be slaughtered. He didn't have an answer for it. I've been waiting for a couple of years. He told me he was going to get back to me on it, but he never has.
You know, I used to work for, as you know, a major radio station in New York City. And I always was baffled by the On Eagle's Wings commercials, which were basically the people promoting this On Eagle's Wings ministry were dispensationalists, and they were promoting rescuing Jews from the Soviet Union and other parts of the world. I guess this was before the fall of the Soviet Union, or those living in the ruins of the Soviet Union after it collapsed, who were living in impoverished areas and so on, and perhaps being persecuted. But they wanted to bring the Jews back to Israel, and yet these same people believe that two-thirds of them are going to be slaughtered, which made it very bizarre to me. It was almost like you were promoting the sale of tickets on a train to Auschwitz or something, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it really meant basically that same thing if you believe that two-thirds of those in Israel will be murdered.
Well, this is the thing, Chris, is that a lot of dispensationalists don't understand this. They've never heard this position, but that is their position. I have numerous quotations from these aren't fringe dispensational writers. These are mainstream dispensational writers who are very clear that Zechariah chapter 13 verses 7 through 9 is designed for the tribulation period, in which two-thirds of the Jews are going to be slaughtered. Charles Ryrie, John Walvoord, and others have held this particular position. And I had a debate with Thomas Ice a number of years ago, and he said, "Oh well, that's true, but billions more are going to be slaughtered as well." And I thought, you know, this is the position that has gained the ascendancy among Christians today, the out of all this is, oh, but it doesn't really matter because we're going to be raptured before any of this takes place.
We won't be murdered and annihilated.
Yeah, we won't be. Yeah, we'll be taken off the earth and we'll be with Jesus in heaven while all hell breaks loose on earth, and God allows another Holocaust to take place. God fulfilled all of his promises to Israel. You look at Pentecost. There were Jews living in Israel from every nation under heaven. The gospel went to the Jews, and the Jews took that gospel to the far reaches of the world at that particular period of time. Paul said that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. The remnant that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11 was a remnant that was saved. And what we find throughout history that Jews and Gentiles are both grafted in together into one new body. Ephesians chapter 2, the dividing wall is broken down. Jews and Gentiles come together, making one new man in Christ. This idea of a postponement is fanciful. The Bible doesn't talk about it. The Bible doesn't talk about this distinction between Israel and the church. The church is not something new in the New Testament. The Greek word ekklesia is translated as kahal by a Hebrew translation. If you look at the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, you'll see that the Hebrew word kahal there is translated as ekklesia. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen talks about the ekklesia in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. You see the same thing in Hebrews chapter 2. There wasn't any new thing in the New Testament. The ecclesia, translated as church, it wasn't anything new. The first ecclesia, chapter 5, is in fact made up exclusively of Jews. So that is the basis of the dispensational system. This church age is something new. There'll be a rapture. God will have a seven-year period in which the Antichrist arises, and then the Jews are going to be slaughtered. There isn't anything in the Bible, no specific verse, that teaches any of that.
It's called like the parenthesis view, right? That the church is only a parenthesis between...
Yeah, it was a book by Ironside called The Great Parenthesis. Now, there's no parenthesis in the Bible. They make up stuff. They put a gap between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. And what's interesting about that, they get that out of Daniel chapter 9. There's, 70 weeks, and at the end of the 69th week, the prophecy clock stops, and then now we're living in this thing called the church age, and the church age will stop when the rapture of the church takes place. You cannot find that in that passage. And in fact, what you find in Daniel chapter 9 is that Daniel is contemplating near the end of the exile, which is a 70-year exile, and it was that exile was coming to a close, and he was reading the book of Jeremiah about this. 70 years. Now, I want you to think about this. The 70 years of exile is parallel to the 70 weeks of years at the end of Daniel chapter 9. So you get 70 years of captivity at the beginning that was coming to an end, and then this prophecy is 70 weeks of years. What if God had decided he was going to put a gap between the 69th and the 70th year of the exile? And after a few years, some of the Israelites who were still in captivity said, maybe we ought to ask God what this is all about. He said, and so they call on God, what about these extra years? Oh, no, they're not extra years. It's a parenthesis. And so you're still living in the 69th year. I just put a parenthesis in there. We're going to keep you in captivity. Who knows how long? Maybe 2,000 years. And then eventually I'll let you out of the exile by getting rid of the parenthesis. And we're supposed to believe that that is what 70 years of captivity would be about if God put a parenthesis in it. It's the same with the 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks of years, the 70th week, the first half of the 70th week is Jesus' ministry. And the final thing that means is the gospel going to the Jews, and eventually Peter has his vision about the gospel going to the Gentiles. That's the end of the 70 weeks.
You know, when I used to hear those ads on Eagle's Wings, I couldn't help but think that, because they would run those ads like a telethon sometimes, I couldn't help but think that there might be like a Ku Klux Klansman somewhere listening and calling in saying, how much does it cost to send 10 Jews back to Israel? The whole thing was nonsensical. And when I asked somebody, when I confronted them about this bizarre excitement that they have of Jews returning to Israel, knowing that two-thirds of them will be slaughtered, of course, that was never in the ad, they said, oh, that's because it's ushering in the rapture. And I'm like, so even if you view that as a part of your eschatology, why be excited about the Jews that, you're excited about the rapture at the expense of millions of Jews being killed?
Well, not only that, you really can't start putting gaps and parentheses where you want to put them. Here's an interesting little story. And at one of the Democrat national conventions a couple of years ago, there was a Jewish man there, a Democrat, who's talking about evangelicals and so forth in their love of Israel. And he brought up this very topic about, yeah, they support Israel. They're going to be raptured out of here, but there's going to be another Holocaust that takes place after that. And you never heard from this guy again. this is the position. And I mentioned, like I said, I mentioned this to Thomas Ice when I debated him, and he, you know, they, no one has an answer to this. They have to hold to that particular position. And I debated somebody on I forget who the fellow was, and he actually believes that Israel has to be kicked out of the land again and be brought back believing in order for this to be fulfilled. So we should, according to them, the dispensationalist system is that Israel is going to have to be kicked out of Israel again and be brought back believing. I mean, the system just cannot hold water over time.
And thank you, Andrew. Give us your full mailing address so that CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship out to you a copy of the newly revised edition of Last Aid Madness. And we thank not only CVBBS.com for shipping out all of our winners every time that we are giving away books and other items. We thank them for shipping those items out to our listeners free of charge. And we also thank, obviously, American Vision for providing these copies that we are giving away. Before I go to my co-host, Christopher McDowell, I want to ask one more audience question. We have John in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, who says, I am curious as to why so many preterists believe that God still has a plan in the future for Israel as a nation. Wasn't God's purpose for the Jews fulfilled with the coming of the Messiah?
I'm not sure that preterists actually hold that position.
Well, I'll give you an example. I think maybe this is where John's coming from. I don't know. Somebody that I have known for many years, a friend of mine who I disagree with on his federal vision views, but a person that I've known for many years as a friend, Steve Schlissel. I think he made sense in saying, although the new nation of Israel that rose up in the mid 20th or early 20th century, although not a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, obviously occurred under the divine decree of God because he is in sovereign control of all things. Could that be a part of the reason why some preterists would view the things the way that John and Carlisle were saying?
Well, that particular view, the idea that Romans 11, there are a lot of postmillennialists, older postmillennialists, John Owen and others, and actually the Westminster Confession of Faith, and maybe in the Baptist Confession of Faith, I'm not sure, but Romans chapter 11, postmillennialists use that to say there will be a time in the future where Jews will embrace the Jesus as the Messiah. And as a postmillennialist, of course, I hold that same position. Of course, I also believe that Muslims and Catholics and communists are also going to embrace Jesus as the promised Messiah. That's part of the postmillennial perspective. And so if one subscribes to the Westminster Confession of Faith, that is in fact built into the system, but not necessarily as a postmillennial doctrine. It just depends on who you're talking to and on what basis. Romans chapter 11 doesn't deal with a distant future conversion of Israel. Paul is describing what was taking place in his day, and you can see that in Romans chapter 11. Let's see here if I can find it real quick.
While you're looking, I'll just give our email address again. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you have any intention to send us a question, you got to do it immediately because we've already got a line growing here. So if you want to send a question, do it now to chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be, Paul writes. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have torn down thine altars, and I alone am left, and they were seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now listen to this next verse. In the same way, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. And so all of these passages in the Old Testament referring to Israel, Paul says, this was taking place in his day. The fulfillment was taking place in his day. And just like Elijah and the 7,000, Jews by the tens of thousands were embracing Jesus as the promised Messiah. All you have to do is read the book of Acts. 3,000 here and 5,000 there. And Paul takes the gospel, throughout the whole Mediterranean world. And you find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, I can find it here, about the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. Verse 23, indeed, if you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not removed from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. So the gospel had gone out to the whole known world at that particular time. The Jews heard the gospel, and the remnant embraced the gospel, and there were those who didn't. That's the fulfillment of all the Bible prophecies in the Old Testament.
Thank you, John, and give us your full mailing address so that you can receive a free copy of the newest edition of Last Days Madness as well. Before I go to another listener, I want Christopher McDowell to chime in because I know he is waiting with bated breath to ask you a question.
I thought I could be a host so I could ask all the questions. No, as we're going through and I'm listening to this, and obviously, Gary, you've been doing this for a long time and interacting with the other side and trying to bring to light their errors and their hermeneutics and whatnot. I've heard time and again about the redefinition of generation. You know, it was 88 reasons that Christ was coming back in 88. You know, 40 years was the generation. Then it was 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, maybe 100 years. Maybe whoever was born then, if they could live to 100 years old, they won't die before this happens. Do you have hope in interacting with the other side, and as long as you've been having this debate, that we have hope, obviously, that this dispensationalism will eventually die out. The adherents will abandon it. That sort of goes along with the post-mill eschatology. But do you have a time frame that you're hoping for, that you think that they'll finally give up the ghost on that?
I think it is generational, although there are a lot of young people, but all I know is that when I started this, involving this when I was in seminary, and then in the 1980s, when I would do interviews, I would get tons of resistance from people. In fact, I did a three evening interview out in California, a radio interview over three nights, 9 hours, and we offered it as Gary DeMar Under Fire, and it was all on eschatology, and it was just interesting to see how this has changed over the years. In fact, I'd be on some programs on eschatology, and everybody who called in was, "Oh, Gary, I read your book," or, "Yeah, I heard this, you know, here, and I gave up dispensationalism." In my lifetime, it has changed dramatically, the number of people who are abandoning dispensationalism. In fact, I just put up a series of short videos on my Facebook page, and two and 3 minute clips that I did when I was out in Moscow, Idaho. And it's amazing how many people would comment, "Gary, I read your book. I used to be a dispensationalist." There are a lot of young guys, Jeff Durbin and his crew out in Arizona, Apologia. It's a growing movement among Christians today. And in one of the short videos I did, there hasn't been a scholarly book defending dispensationalism in at least 20 years. They're all very popularly written. They just regurgitate. If you look at their bibliographies and their footnotes, you'll see that they just repeat what, you know, all these other dispensational books have said. They They avoid preterism. If they do mention preterism, they only do it briefly, and they don't necessarily ridicule, but they really don't get into the arguments that I raise. I can't get a debate with any dispensationalist today anymore. I quit even trying to do that. Hey, there you go, Chris. Why don't you, John MacArthur's going to be at G3. why don't you have James White and get a debate, a friendly debate. John and I will get on stage. We'll discuss eschatology with James White as the moderator.
I think that's an excellent idea. How far I'll get in convincing anybody to do that is another story. But I agree with you. That would be.
I'm a postmillennialist, but not maybe that postmillennial.
pessimistic theonomist. Well, we're going to go to our.
I'm actually serious. I think you ought to talk to James and say, "Hey, Gary DeMar, John MacArthur." We tell John MacArthur we have a mutual friend with Kirk Cameron. Maybe we can get Kirk to come up there as well, and the three of us with James as the moderator. We'd be a great guy. I bet you we'd fill the place.
Oh, I am totally serious when I agree with you on that, and perhaps for 2021. Well, we can pull that off, God willing, of course, because I would love that. I think that you would draw probably the biggest crowd that they ever had having something like that. But we are going to our final break. It's going to be a lot briefer than the last one. If you want to send us a question, do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. The church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship, and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County.
Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi,
I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Right, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Welcome back. And by the way, Gary and Chris, you will probably be pleased to know that Dan Buttafuoco, whose ad you just heard, he, although he might not be a theonomist or reconstructionist, he does adamantly hold to an early dating of the writing of the New Testament. So I thought that you'd be happy to hear that, at least. And
rejoice in truth, sir.
Amen. We have Jerry in Copeg, New York. How is it that so many in the church today have so misrepresented Matthew 24? How did its understanding get so far off track? Do you have an understanding of history where this began, where the view that you hold disappeared from popularity?
I haven't really traced the history of all this, but I do know that going back through the commentaries on the books, it is amazing how many books have been published over the centuries using the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, especially events of Matthew 24, as being fulfilled within that particular generation. There, of course, have always been people who have tried to use those particular passages as depicting events that took place in their day. In fact, we published a book a few years ago by Frank Gummerlach, who's a Latin scholar who has translated an enormous number of early manuscripts from Latin into English that have never been translated before. And he has found all kinds of examples of ancient writers who see Matthew 24 as referring to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But he wrote a book called The Day and the Hour. He went essentially by decade showing people trying to predict the end of the world, that there was no rapture doctrine prior to the 19th century, but how their generation was the generation, wars and rumors of wars and false Christ and so forth. So both views have gone through historically parallel lanes, if you will, down the theological highway. But the most prevalent position has been the preterist position on Matthew 24. That's not the case in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has been treated in so many different ways, it's really hard to come up with a single view. Probably the historicist view might be the most popular view of the book of Revelation, which is just really a newspaper exegesis writ large over nearly 2,000 years of history.
And get us your full mailing address, and we'll get you a free copy of Last Day's Madness, Compliments of American Vision, and also Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be shipping it out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady says, I belong to a Reformed Baptist church with believers of different eschatological views. We all agree on the basic tenets of our faith and have some interesting discussions among ourselves. However, I've noticed on some of the podcasts I listen to that some of our brethren will attack others if they don't have the same eschatology. Do you agree that on eschatology, we should agree to disagree in love through Christ and let the world see the love of Christ? It bothers me when, as brothers, we attack one another in public for the world to see. If it is one of the basic tenets that's worth fighting for, that's Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina.
Well, I think it is one of the major doctrines. There's more on eschatology in the Bible than baptism, for example. So if you belong to a Baptist church and you adhere to a Baptist ideology regarding baptism and you make that fundamental to the faith, you have to say eschatology is even more significant because you've got the estimates are about 25% of the Bible is eschatology. Then we have to remember also that liberals have used the doctrine of eschatology to critique the reliability and inspiration of the Bible. They said, look, Jesus was wrong about his return because he said he would return within a generation and he didn't. Therefore, Jesus was wrong. The Bible is wrong on this issue. This was something that was brought up in the debate between Christopher Hitchens and Douglas Wilson on the a film that I was one of the producers on called Collision. At the Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, Hitchens brought up Matthew chapter 24. And Douglas Wilson, within just with a minute, maybe a minute and a half, immediately critiqued Hitchens' view and stymied Hitchens. He had never heard it before. He didn't have an answer before. A dispensationalist, I'm sorry to say, could not answer it that quickly. It'd be all kinds of redefining what generation meant. It means this race. For the generation that sees these signs, there's the audience relevance. You can't use the second person plural dealing with it. It would take them days in order to go through it. Douglas Wilson dealt with it about a minute and a half and took the Bible seriously, took Jesus' word seriously, and Christopher Hitchens didn't have an answer for it.
We have Johnny in Queens, New York. Your intro was a journey back into memory lane. I remember being introduced to Gary and biblical preterism by calling in to Andy Anderson's show in the 1990s and also meeting Gary for the first time at Kingston, New York. Oh, wow, both things that I mentioned before. Gary's works have profoundly influenced my life and view of Scripture and walk with Christ. Well, that was not a question, but just a wonderful thing that he said. Gary, we have a minute for you to summarize and conclude what you want to have etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, I would just say, look, this is a topic that needs to be studied. It's not something to war over, but it is something that we need to study with diligence. I would suggest getting my book, Last Days Madness, at AmericanVision.org. If it's too much of a book, since Chris said it was more of a tome than a book,
I never said that.
I would suggest I have a shorter book called Is Jesus Coming Soon? It's just on Matthew chapter 24. It's a short version of it. And I have another book called Wars and Rumors of Wars, which is just on Matthew 24, but it's more expansive than Is Jesus Coming Soon? I have other books dealing with that as well. So go to AmericanVision.org. Go to my Facebook page, Gary DeMar, and I've got a number of videos up there. Go to American Vision's Facebook page as well. There are a number of videos up there as well. So study to show yourself approved. That's basically all I can tell you to do.
And I know that the Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York website is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. Thank you both for being on my program. I look forward to both of you returning very soon.
I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, as my guests will be Anthony Uvinio of New York Apologetics and Eli Ayala of the Historical Bible Society.